The movie Shakespeare in Love gave us a daily life of the great playwright, long on romance, atmosphere, and wit. The new book, A Year in the Life of William Shakespeare, 1599, gives us a daily life of the playwright that loses a lot of the romance, but adds international intrigue, personal upheaval, and prodigious creativity. To tell us how those 365 days can fill 416 pages, we're joined now by author James Shapiro, also an English professor at Columbia University in New York. And if you have questions about this period in Shakespeare's development and the plays it produced, Henry V, Julius Caesar, As You Like It, Hamlet, give us a call at 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. And email is totn@npr.org. And Professor Shapiro, nice to have you on Talk of the Nation.
A pleasure to be with you.
Why 1599?
1599 was a year that almost found me more than I found it. I couldn't answer a question. How did Shakespeare go from being a playwright who wrote plays like Richard II, terrific play, Merchant of Venice, Merry Wives of Windsor, to the next level, to Hamlet and Othello and Macbeth and Lear? And it turned out that this creative leap took place in 1599. And I was interested in what in his own life and in the world around him was going on that might have helped in that transition.
What was going on in his life and the world around? We always read about Shakespeare as, you know, the dramatist, the poet for the ages. Most people don't put him in his time.
You know, I think to become a poet for the ages, you have to be a poet and a dramatist who speaks to your own time. There was no radio, there were no newspapers, there was no television in Shakespeare's day. Theater was the main form of both entertainment and news. And Shakespeare was brilliant at taking what was in the air and putting it into his plays. And this was an extraordinary year politically in England. There was an insurgency in Ireland that had to be suppressed with a large army dispensed to put it down. It was a disastrous military campaign. There was fear of another armada that was going to invade from Spain and take over England. There was a lot of upheaval around the court. Queen Elizabeth was aging. No one knew who would succeed her. So these were very heady times.
And how do you detect any of that in the plays of William Shakespeare?
Well, one of the stranger things about the plays in 1599 is that these pressures began to break through the, if you will, the skin of the play. He wrote his greatest history play in this year, 1599, and that was Henry V.
Mm-hmm.
And late in Henry V, there's a moment where Shakespeare stops speaking about the past 200 years ago, and he addresses his audience through the chorus, and he says, let's hope that the general of our gracious empress, the Earl of Essex, who's leading this army of 16,000 men, will come home with rebellion broached on his sword. And he breaks the illusion of past and present and merges the two at that moment. As it turned out, Essex was contemplating a coup d'etat against Elizabeth while in Ireland, so Shakespeare turned out to be a little ahead of the times on that one.
Yeah, but it's, I guess, in terms of that military expedition, we few, we happy few, we band of brothers is seen in a different light.
It's seen in a different light. It certainly, when I started this book 15 years ago, I didn't imagine that it would be published during a relatively unpopular war with an insurgency and all those kinds of problems which we're facing now. Elizabethans faced that and much more then. And it's a very painful year. We tend to idealize Shakespeare and we tend to romanticize his age. But it was a difficult year. It was an unsettling year. And he understood the anxieties of his age and was able to write in plays like Julius Caesar or As You Like It about issues that mattered to his contemporaries and that still matter to us.
We're talking with James Shapiro about his new book, A Year in the Life of William Shakespeare, 1599. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And one of the points you make about this extraordinary year in the life of William Shakespeare is that it followed a relatively fallow period in his career where he was, three really good plays in 2 years. But for him, this was just goofing off.
The great catalyst for Shakespeare in this year was that his company lost their lease on the theater. It was called the theater, the playhouse in which they played. The landlord did not want them playing there anymore. They owned the structure, but they didn't own the land. And in late December of 1598, armed to the teeth, his company came to that theater, took it apart. They were challenged, but I think they got their way. And these oak timbers were set up later that year across the Thames as the Globe Theatre. And there was tremendous pressure on Shakespeare to create great plays for his company in their new space. So I think he felt that pressure and responded to it brilliantly.
So one of the things you point out is that at this time, Shakespeare was an actor as well as a playwright and now became a businessman as well. To protect his own investment, he needed new material.
He needed new material. It could not have been easy. We like to think of the artist working away in the garret. Shakespeare spent his mornings rehearsing the play that his company was going to perform that afternoon. They changed the play every day. He then performed it in the afternoon. And when his fellow actors went off to drink and carouse, he went to read and write, probably by candlelight, long into the night. He was an extraordinarily hard-working artist.
One of the asides you mentioned is that not one much given to partying.
One of the things that early antiquarians learned about Shakespeare was when people would come and say, let's go out and drink, he'd say, I'm really not feeling well. And I think that anecdote says a lot about him. He had to create enough space to be the creative artist that he was. And I think if he had his choice between going out and having fun or reading and writing, he was one of those people who read and wrote.
Let's get in a caller on the line. This is Roman. Roman calling us from Utica, New York.
Oh, hi. How are you?
Very well.
I just wanted to ask a question of your guest. In terms of the will that Shakespeare left, there's absolutely no mention of his plays, his sonnets, his son-in-law, I believe, who kept a diary, never mentioned the fact that William Shakespeare, the great playwright, had died. And there was absolute silence in Stratford about his death, and there just seems to be such a great discrepancy in terms of what we refer to as William Shakespeare, the person that we always, the drawing that we always see of him, as opposed to it being someone else.
Mm-hmm.
And William Shakespeare, you know, all of a sudden he just springs up with this wellspring of literature seems very improbable.
The drift of your question really is, was Shakespeare Shakespeare, and how do we know that, and is there enough evidence? And you point to the will and other things that people like to point to. One of the things that I try to do in this book is write about a year in which we know a tremendous amount about Shakespeare, in which contemporaries were speaking about Shakespeare, in which Shakespeare's name is appearing repeatedly on the title pages of books, both that he wrote and even on books that he hadn't written and people are attributing to him. So I think that it's a red herring to start looking at Shakespeare's early years and his retirement, about which we know very little. And I want to shift away from the fascination with, was he Shakespeare or was he not? He clearly was Shakespeare. The question of the authorship is a very complicated one. I don't have enough time to deal with it here. Mm-hmm. I'll be turning my attention to that next, I think, because it's a very serious question. People care about it.
Okay.
Thanks, Roman, for the call. But one of the arguments you do make is that not only was Shakespeare had to have been unbelievably busy to produce all these plays, his rivals for authorship, if there are any, they were busy doing other stuff too.
My favorite is the second-rate dramatist we never read anymore, Thomas Dekker, who wrote 10 plays in this year. Like Shakespeare, never went to the university. Very few acting dramatists at this time went to university. Shakespeare was very typical of those who were writing at this time. A lot of plays were written collaboratively. Shakespeare didn't have the time to do that since he was acting and rehearsing. But this was a very hard-working bunch of writers, about 15 or so, that produced 60 or 70 new plays a year. And Elizabethan audiences were the best theater audiences really ever, because we know from gate receipts how many people went to the theater, by and large, at least Shakespeare's rival company, the Admiral's Men. This was a culture in which people went to the theater as often or perhaps even more often than Americans go to the movies today.
So a very sophisticated audience, which generated a very sophisticated writer. James Shapiro, thank you very much for being with us.
It's my pleasure.
James Shapiro is the author of A Year in the Life of William Shakespeare, 1599. He was kind enough to join us from our bureau in New York. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan.